Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. Well, today, this show is timed perfectly because we're going to be talking about narcissistic abuse and the holiday blues. If you think about it, you know, summer, we've got our shorts on and our flip-flops and we're vacationing and we're carefree and we feel great. Most of the time, we don't really have too much to worry about. I mean, obviously, we have things in life, but it's just a more carefree time. And then all of a sudden, the lights start going up, and the songs start playing on the radio, and movies start coming out with Christmas themes, and, you know, and we are surrounded, we are inundated by it. And for those of us who have narcissistic abuse issues, this can be a really, really difficult time. Holidays with narcissists are disasters. There's just no other way to put it. They hate holidays. They resent others for feeling happy as if the narcissist is not the one responsible for that happiness. So they really despise joy. And they try to ruin it and suppress it in all of us. One of my counseling clients wrote to me and told me about his family holiday memories. And I want to read it to you because this is just so tragic. He starts off by saying, "The holidays had always been so tough until I got wiser to NPD parents' patterns. I think I can name an injury every holiday I had as a kid. I have some examples below. The holidays are a particularly challenging, sad, and introspective time for me. It's largely because my NPD mother honed an ability to capitalize on the emotional tenderness of the season to obtain her narcissistic supply. The innocence and openness a child has during that hopeful time was preyed upon to maximize her emotional abusive impact and resultant supply of drama. Refusing gifts from her children. I remember my mother refusing presents I had given her as a child. She took all the others from her Cuban relatives, praised the trinkets loudly and proudly, displayed them around the house. However, the gifts of her children, which were equally charming, valuable, albeit more thoughtful, she mutely placed aside with no effect and allowed to linger untouched the following week. After they sat out untouched for the season, I remember she put the gifts I gave her in the top shelf of the closet in the guest room. She refused to even bring them up to her room. She didn't want anything to do with her children. Nothing we could give her was good enough. She even did this when I was an adult. She publicly sc- scoffed at the present I once gave her. In front of her guests, I've since wisened up. Destroying holiday dinners. I remember, as a creative kid, making wonderful dishes and expressing love by preparing complex and beautiful meals for my parents. Being creative, and especially cooking, was an act of love and caring to me. On more than one occasion, my mother went out of her way to ruin the gesture. One year, I prepared them a traditional standing rib roast with trimmings and gravy. I served them in the dining room, left the food warming in the kitchen, and then sat to the dinner table to join them. I tried to show my love for them by explaining how I thoughtfully prepared the meal. I wanted some acknowledgement. My mother got up and went into the kitchen. Maybe she wanted something. Seconds? After a time, I went to see where she was. I found her in the kitchen. The baking dish was empty in front of her. She explained. She accidentally fed the $90 standing rib roast to the dogs. It hurt me then. It hurt my tender feelings then because it meant my cooking was no better than dog food. It was excellently prepared. It was not like it was truly awful. Another year, I cooked a traditional well-made Thanksgiving meal with love. I should have known something was up. As I set the table, my mother announced she was going to the store to pick up something she had ordered to complete the meal. What could it be? A fine dessert? I was naively hopeful. My food was placed on the table with happy aplomb and intricate garnishes, all symbols of the dedication that I felt the family I loved deserved. I took the time to do the preparation just as perfectly as I could. To me, cooking was caring and an expression of love. It was a way of taking care of people. Lo and behold, when my mother arrived through the door, it turned out she had pre-ordered a frozen family-packed dinner from the grocery store a few weeks before. It was premeditated, planned to hurt me. She pulled out a lukewarm turkey in a plastic bag accompanied by near-frozen potatoes, gravy that looked like wet sawdust, and stuffing from the cardboard box. She heated it up and insisted that we eat her Thanksgiving meal instead. It was so hurtful. She saw the painstaking love I put into planning the meal for weeks as an early teen, then living in the house, and shat on any expression of creativity and love. These abuses continued in various forms throughout the many holidays until I got wiser to the abuse and started to develop boundaries. I am still disappointed. I wish to have romanticized and gleeful holiday seasons one day. However, I'm still hurting, and the holidays still bring up memories of different abuses as familiar songs and scents fill the air. It'll take time. As an adult, I am regularly invited each year to be in the same space and traditions. I don't participate anymore. I don't cook. I've learned not to give presents. I don't decorate. Unfortunately, I kind of feel that my lack of willing to participate satisfies my mother's need anyway. I can't help but think I've seen a glimmer of pleasure in her eyes, knowing that she's destroyed some happiness. She, in a sick way, took credit and pleasure in impacting her kids so that they didn't participate or enjoy the holidays. If given the chance, she still asks regularly, "Are you cooking this year?" It's cruel, and either a yes or no answer gives her some silent satisfaction. It's a no-win situation. So I don't put myself in that position anymore. In a way, it helps because I don't suffer depression and injury. But I suffer still because the holidays has become an exercise of protecting myself, not a time to relax in the goodwill and kinship of others. It hurts me to think of how I'd rather be celebrating the holidays in a more perfect world. It just hurts. That is just so sad and so tragic. And I'm sure that so many of you have stories like this. Excuse me. Narcissists make it their business to ruin every holiday. They sabotage anything good that we do. If not, they're there grandstanding, showing off. As far as gifts, narcissists are notoriously bad gift givers. you know, if you ask, if they ask you, what do you want for Christmas or what do you want for your birthday, and you tell them, they will get you exactly the opposite. They know what you want. They get you what you don't want. So they give gifts either that you don't want or gifts that they want to receive. So you will not be happy. They enjoy seeing the disappointment on your face. It's so, so very sick. The gifts that they give are never meaningful. It may be money, but the money will come with attachments and thank you requirements and doing deeds for them as a result of it. So gifts are never without strings attached. So this is what I want to say. You know, if you don't want to go to these things, you don't have to go. It seems as if you do. It seems as if it's expected of you. And maybe the family expects it of you, even though there's a narcissistic parent there or a narcissistic sibling or aunt or uncle or something like that that is going to ruin it. But the rest of the family wants you there. But you do have a choice. You don't have to be afraid of causing trouble. You're already going to look like the bad guy, unless you're still pleasing. If you're still pleasing, then you're faking it, and then you're just going to suffer. You're going to go, and you're going to suffer. If you do go, stop trying to please everyone. Stop trying to make nice and make everybody get along. Your efforts will not be appreciated. Don't let yourself be a slave. Don't let your parent tie you up in the kitchen and make you do things. Don't do it. And as soon as things begin, as soon as you start to feel the first inkling that she's manipulating, she's abusing, something is starting, and you can feel it because you've experienced this for years and years and years. You know, you feel the rumbling of the earthquake that's about to happen. When you feel that, leave that moment, that very moment. Thank you. It's been very nice. Goodbye. I'm going. You do not have to stay around for the torment. That is not required. And because you want to be able to leave if something starts, be the one to host the festivities. Because if you do, you are stuck. And you're put in a position of having to kick people out, which you probably don't want to have to do because you want this to be a pleasant day. So don't host this in your house. When you go to these things, don't go alone. If you have to, bring somebody or assign somebody the duty of watching over the narcissistic person and keeping them engaged, keeping them happy. They want to have some kind of attention. If somebody is watching them and doting over them and making sure they have their eggnog and making sure that, you know, that they've taken some appetizers or making sure that they have enough on their serving plate, whatever it is, that kind of doting on them will take it off of you. Now, you have to ask yourself at this point, is it worth having to endure this, having to control your reactions? Is it worth putting up the walls that you need to put up in order to endure this? There's no possible way that your buttons aren't going to get pushed because these are memories that go back years and years and years. If this is, in fact, your family that's at the root of this problem. But this is a point, if you're listening to the show, you're probably very, very aware that you're dealing with somebody who has pathological narcissism. And being aware is really the first step into healing your situation. Now, once you start healing, going backwards into denial or into putting up these protective walls, this is not going to help you heal. You need to be able to face this and accept it and deal with it square on. Now, when I say deal with it square on, that does not mean subjecting yourself to these environments. That is the worst thing that you can do. Now, I've been in recovery for many years. I do not subject myself to these environments because to me, I will suffer before, I will suffer during, and I will suffer after. And I'm just not going to do that. I've suffered enough, and so have you. Another thing that's really important for holiday depression is, you know, we do want to drown our sorrows, but drinking is not a good idea because it tends to make the anxiety worse. It's only very temporary, and it can make you very depressed. The other thing about drinking is that if you're around other people, you may say things that you regret. You want to have your full faculties about you. And if you go to these things, make sure that you plan recovery time afterward. You're going to need them. Need it. You're going to need it. Oh, if you hear that noise, I'm having my car detailed. So he keeps turning on this power washer, and it keeps getting loud. So if you hear that, pay no mind to it. What's important to know is that so many people are walking around joyful, but it doesn't mean that they're happy. There are many people that are walking around that are not happy for whatever reason. Maybe they've lost somebody, and this is their first season without them, or every season reminds them of that person, and it's a very sad time of year for them. Or maybe every year you spent your holidays with narcissists, and they ruined it for you. And every time you think of it, you cringe. Doesn't have meaning. And you want it to have meaning, but it doesn't. And so you tend to put pressure on yourself. As soon as you start to feel this holiday season in the air, you start thinking, oh my, you know, I hate this time of year. Well, it's all about changing your expectations for that time of year. Don't expect it to be what everybody is trying to make it be. Think about what you would like it to be in your heart. What meaning you would like for it to have with your partner or your family or your children or whatever. What do you want that to be between you? It can really be anything. And it can be any day. It doesn't have to be this time of year. If we take the holidays just as they are, just like any other day, and we have no expectations, it's a lot easier on us. We don't have to decorate. We don't have to buy gifts. You know, one of the great things to do during the holiday season is to take a vacation, get away from your environment, go someplace else, and enjoy it more as a vacation than as a holiday season. That's one way to get your mind off of it and to really refocus what this means to you. Now, it doesn't mean on vacation that you have to think about the holiday or think about what you're missing out on. No, it means to you, the holidays mean taking a vacation and freeing your mind and relaxing. It could be about just spending time with close friends or the ones you love. Not having to celebrate, but just to spend that time and to talk things out and to be real. You need to be around people that you can really talk to, people that you can be real with, because you haven't been able to be real for so many years. You've had to suppress yourself. This is not time to suppress yourself. This is time to be yourself and be around people that accept you for who you are. It doesn't mean you have to dump on them. It just means being able to talk real things. And when you're with narcissists and people that are around them and staying in denial, you can't be real. So how are you supposed to feel good? You can always establish new traditions. And like I said, they don't have to be on that day. Christmas is a manufactured day. It's not a real day. It's not when the scenario happened. You can pick your day. And you can say, for the holiday season, I'm going to celebrate it on the first of December, or whatever you want, and create something very new, and give yourself something to look forward to. Now, we all get offered a lot of opportunities to go to parties and to be part of other celebrations. You have to learn to say no. You have to learn what is comfortable with you and what is not. And you have to learn to be able to say no and say it kindly. No, I am not going to be able to do that. You don't have to give any reasons. Just say, I am not able to attend. I'm very sorry. It's also really important to not get caught up in the depression that keeps you from eating and sleeping and exercising and whatever you do in your normal routine. You want to be able to continue doing these things. Keep up your normal routine. If you feel sad, allow those feelings of sadness. Don't try to hide them. If you're grieving, allow the grieving to be there. It is okay to feel feelings, and it's perfectly normal to have feelings and be able to accept these feelings. You are wounded. As someone who has been abused by a narcissist, you are broken. You are wounded. You're going to have times that aren't absolutely joyous and perfect. I have them. We all have them. And what I found works for me is if I feel that I'm getting into a depression, I allow it. And I say, this too shall pass. I know by my track record that I will go through this and I will get out of it and everything will look great again. Allow it. Be very, very gentle with yourself. Be kind to yourself. Be loving to yourself. You have not been loved. Now, you come into this world alone and you leave alone. The only person that you have is you. You have got to be your own best friend. You have got to love yourself. You have got to care about yourself. And you have got to be for yourself. That does not mean that you are selfish. And I know when we've been around narcissistic people, the thought of being selfish is so, it turns our stomach. We hate it because we've seen it at its worst. And we don't want to be that person. But loving yourself and caring about yourself and centering yourself is important because these are part of the boundary system that you must have for you, between you, and the rest of the world. You know, everybody else has this, but they get it gradually. If you notice, you know, people that don't have these issues are very firm about what they will and will not tolerate, who and what they will expose themselves to. People that have grown up with normal boundary systems are not afraid to exert their self when they need to. As survivors of narcissistic abuse, we have to be able to do that for ourselves. We have to teach ourselves boundaries. We have to teach ourselves that self-love is the primary thing in life. All else comes from self-love. We cannot possibly love another the right way with all our heart and all our soul unless we love ourselves. That's where we learn love. Love is unconditional. Love is forgiving. Love is gentle and love is kind. I sound like that poem, but it is. It is. So take care of yourself. Be gentle with yourself. Don't beat yourself up over every little thing that goes wrong. Sometimes maybe, okay, you are guilty. If you're guilty about doing something wrong, remedy it. Go to the person, say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that, you know, get it over with, and then you're done. You need not feel guilty for long periods of time. You have to let it go. Don't punish yourself any worse than you would punish someone you love. When you start beating yourself up, ask yourself, would I treat my best friend this way? Would I treat my partner this way? Would I treat my children this way? Would I ever want them to feel as bad as I'm feeling? And then treat yourself better. There are things that you can do if you really want to be part of this holiday and you really want to make it what it's supposed to be, about giving, about gratitude, about giving. One of the things that's really great to do on the holidays is to volunteer. Volunteer with those who have less than you do. Volunteer at a homeless shelter. Help feed the homeless. Give presents to children. You can buy presents and deliver them to children anonymously, or you can go to hospitals where children are in the wards, child wards, and you can give out presents, or go to places where children are abandoned and be there with them. So giving of yourself at this time, rather than feeling as if it's time to receive or time to feel a certain way, can be very, very helpful. Another thing, and I mentioned gratitude. Okay. Now, every day of the year, we should be grateful because we have so much to be grateful for. It may not seem like it when we're hurting. It may seem as if others have more, maybe in one department than another. But nobody, it's all pretty equal when it comes out. Nobody really has more than another person. It's just distributed differently. And there are many things to be grateful for. And I'm sure that you can think of them. If you want to write a gratitude journal, you can start that. Just start thinking about all the things that you have to be grateful for. Maybe it's the fact that you've been able to parent very healthy children. Or maybe it's the fact that you got out of a bad relationship. But there's many things to be grateful for. If we think about what happened in France, in Paris, for the safety that you feel today. And taking walks is a great way to clear your head out. Getting back to nature, taking walks, taking hikes. Sometimes people take gratitude walks and they just look around and it reminds them of this world that they're living in and the things that they do have to be grateful for. It's just not worth focusing on the holidays if they upset you. It's just another day. And following that day is another day. And following that day is another day. It's just a day. So find ways that you can get through that day and be real with yourself. It may not involve giving gifts. It may not involve receiving gifts. If that's not comfortable for you, don't do it. But you can give the gift of yourself. And there's no better gift than the gift of love and sharing. There's no better gift than that. So give that to your partner. Now, you know, you may be in a family, you may have a husband or a wife or a partner that is expecting you to do all these things. You know, I just watched this movie on Lifetime the other day that I really liked. the mother of the family was really responsible for everything that went on, and they kept coming at her with different things. The husband wanted her to host a party, and the children need cookies, and this one's this, and the other one wants to have a party at the house, and all these kind of things. She went on strike. She went outside, and she put up a sign, walked around, and said, "I'm on strike. You have the right to feel the way you feel. And if somebody truly loves you, they must learn to understand that this is not the time for you to celebrate. You don't want to celebrate. And that you're perfectly willing to do this another time, but that this day does not have that meaning to you. And people who care about you should respect that about you. Look, this didn't come out of nowhere. They know you. They know you've been suffering with this. This didn't come out of nowhere. If you are stuck in a relationship right now, nothing about this relationship feels good. The holiday season feels even worse. You are where you are. The best you can do is not feed into any of these things, but I'm sure you're pretty much an expert at not feeding into things because you've been trained and brainwashed not to. Get through it the best that you can. When it's over, start making strides towards moving out of that relationship, moving towards freedom. You deserve to be free. And there is someone out there that's going to love you and not hurt you. Love is not supposed to be painful. Love is supposed to feel good. Sure, people have arguments, but arguments work out. You talk them out, you work them out, they're over. You get back to loving. We don't hurt people. So if you're stuck in a relationship right now, make the best of it. Try not to please everybody. Try not to make it all look so pretty. Do the best that you can do, and then get out of it. That's not always easy to do. I know there's children and there's money and there's all kinds of things that's tied up. But a few years down the road, your life won't look like it looks today, and you can make that change in yourself. If any of you have any questions and you would like to call in, you can call the number 424-220-1801. And we do have a few minutes that I can talk to you. Again, that number is 424-220-1801. So to sum this up, this can be disappointing. And it is disappointing for many people. But you're not the only person going through this. And it may never be this joyful season for you. It may never be that way for you. But there's other times that you enjoy. And there's other times that can be joyful and gleeful for you. And you can celebrate birthdays, and you can celebrate maybe you want to celebrate New Year's Eve, the beginning of a new year, the start of something new. And that brings me to another thought, and that is that we are getting ready to start a new year. We are heading in that direction. If you're hurting, if this is something that's gnawing at you, if you're still feeling the effects of the abuse, and you can't seem to get a grip on it, please get some help for yourself. I am always available to talk to you. I counsel people who have these issues, and very effectively. If you are interested in contacting me, you can go to my website, randygfine.com, and there will be a page you can click on. There's a list of the pages at the top of the website, and you can click on Fine Life Issues Counseling. It will give you my policies. and it will give you my philosophies, and it will also connect you to a site where you can make an appointment with me. And it will be over the telephone, so I can talk to you wherever you are in the world. It's just a matter of picking up a phone. The phone numbers are confidential. It's like a conference call. We're both assigned our own phone numbers. So I don't have to really know anything about you other than what you want me to know. If you don't want to see me, see someone else. But just qualify them first. Make sure that they're experienced with narcissistic personality disorder. Otherwise, they will make you feel guilty for the things that you are going to have to do that may seem cold and callous to the rest of the world. But they're not. They're ways of protecting yourself. Again, my website is randygfine.com. And go to Life Issues Counseling for all the information. Randy is R-A-N-D-I. Randy G. Fine, F-I-N-E.com. I have a page on Facebook called Narcissistic Abuse Survivors United. I would welcome all of you to join me there. Not only will I post the shows that I'm doing on this topic, I will post the articles that I write on this topic. I'll post whatever I find that I think is helpful that other people write. So I'm going to give you a lot of tools for your healing and your going through this whole process. And you can get support there because there'll be other people. You can post questions. You can post comments. So Narcissistic Abuse Survivors United, let's unite. I hope to see you there. I am currently writing a book about pathological narcissistic abuse. I have a long way to go with it, but I do want to include your stories in it. So if you have a story that you would like to tell me and you would like to have it included in the book, I can't promise I'll include everything, but please send it to loveyourlife@randygfine.com, RANDIGFINE.com, loveyourlife@randygfine.com. And you can put in the heading, story for book, or something like that. I'm going to read it anyway, so whatever you put, or for book, or something like that. So please submit your stories to me. It's going to enrich the book that I'm writing. But this book is, I don't think there's a book out there that's going to be as comprehensive on narcissistic abuse as this book is going to be. And that's why it's taking me a long time, because I want to make sure I cover every possible area that I can. Now, hopefully you know about the second Friday of every month. On the second Friday of every month at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, I will be taking your calls and answering your questions about narcissistic abuse. The number to call in is 424-220-1801, 424-220-1801. You can also just listen in, and the links will be on my website, on my show page on my website. You can even go to this show page for Blog Talk Radio. It will be there. It'll be on Facebook. Links will be everywhere. All you have to do is click on them, and you will be connected to the show. But if you want to speak to me and you have an issue, then you can call in or write to me through email, and I will answer your questions. It's really good to share your questions and share your experiences because it helps others. I get letters from people telling me that they don't have the time to call in, but they listen, and the shows are very, very helpful. So if you have something to contribute, that would be really great. We would love to have that. Well, coming down to that time where the show is ending, I do want to tell you that on my website, there are many other things besides NPD articles. I write about spiritual growth. I write about personal growth, parenting, relationships, meditating. I write about metaphysical things, empowerment, letting go of pain. And on the holidays, I always put in something inspirational. So there's something for everybody on my website, randygfine.com. So I hope that you'll visit. And there's a guest book you can sign if you'd like. Let me know you've been there, and you can leave me comments as well. If you enjoy my show, please become a show follower. I believe at the top of every page there's a button that you can push or click on that says follow the show, and then you'll be notified of the programming. I have really great shows coming up. I'm booked now into February, and there's such a variety of people that are coming, all based on different aspects of healing the human condition. So I hope that you will become a show follower, or at least tune in and listen to these shows, because you're going to get so much out of them. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. I want to thank you again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. If you are celebrating Thanksgiving, I hope you have a wonderful time. If you are not, just spend the day in gratitude, because that's what Thanksgiving is about. If you're alone, just be grateful. Go take walks and be grateful for what you have. This has been talk radio show host, counselor, and author Randy Fine signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours, especially during this holiday season. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. Better way.